This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Hasa Diga Ibawe.
What did you just say?
Hasa Diga Ibawe. I'm using a greeting from the Book of Mormon. Just not the Book of Mormon you might be thinking of.
Hasa Diga Ibawe. You're going to tell us what that means later.
I don't know if I can do that over the radio.
And what is your name, by the way?
Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Co-host of the Free Thought Radio, and I am Dan Barker. And I would like to say, hello, I'm Elder Barker, here with Annie Laurie Gaylor on Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, and why am I singing to a doorbell? We'd like to share with you the most amazing story.
Well, actually, that is something that atheists and agnostics, of course, don't do, do we? We do not go around ringing people's doorbells like some, we could mention, trying to convert you or even to deconvert you.
And who are some of those people that we could mention who do go door to door? They include Mormons. And that greeting that Annie Laurie just used, Hasa Diga Ibawe, and that doorbell ring you just heard, are part of the new Broadway musical, The Book of Mormon. It's the first musical by Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park. They wrote it in conjunction with the composer Robert Lopez of Avenue Q. And the musical, The Book of Mormon, is now playing at the Eugene O'Neill Theater in New York City. And that was my kind of corny way of mimicking the opening song where they
it's very cute.
They're hitting the doorbell and they're practicing before they go out on their mission.
There's a chorus line of young Mormon, quote-unquote, elders, missionaries about to go out on their first missionary trip in their black and white shirt and pants. And you hear the doorbell each time and then they introduce themselves in the song. I'm Elder so-and-so. It's very funny.
Well, we loved the musical. We were lucky to get tickets early. It just opened a couple of weeks ago. It's the unlikely story of what happens to two 19-year-old Mormons. These 19-year-olds are called elders. Elder Cunningham and Elder Price, on their missionary work when they are sent to a very troubled village in Uganda.
And as Dan said, we were lucky enough to take in the show last week. It is one of the funniest musicals or plays I've ever seen. Also, of course, one of the most irreverent. But you don't have to take our word for it. You can read the reviews. It's really a hit. I have never heard roars like that out of theater seats in my life.
For such an irreverent free thought play. We'll be talking a bit more about this amazing play today on Free Thought Radio. We've also got a variety of news to report on what the theocrats are up to, what freethinkers are doing to counteract that, and our guest on the second half of today's show will be another friendly atheist, Hemant Mehta, who is a blogger with the Friendly Atheist website. So we'll catch up with him and what's happening in the freethought blogosphere.
Our broadcast in Madison, Wisconsin on April the 16th, 2011. Freethought Radio also airs in Atlanta, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Monterey, and of course podcasts everywhere. And the Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is the nation's largest association of like-minded atheists, agnostics, freethinkers, skeptics. And we are also a national watchdog for the separation of church and state. FFRF has taken more than 50 lawsuits. We have two staff attorneys who are trying to solve state church problems without going to court. We are very busy educating the public about non-theism and trying to keep that wall of separation between church and state from being totally eviscerated before our eyes, and we'd like you to join us.
And by the way, this week's show is our 260th show, 260 weeks of Free Thought Radio. And you know what that means? Do a little bit of math. That means this is finishing 5 complete years of Free Thought Radio. And this week is also another anniversary. Last week marked the 150th anniversary of the start of the Civil War. And that leads us kind of elegantly into a joke that Anne Gaylor told. Anne Gaylor is the president emerita of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Well, she actually requested you to tell this joke. And it's about the Civil War, and you got that there, right?
Here it is. Anne actually wrote this out, and she said, please tell this joke. It's funny. At a time of grave crisis during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was awakened late one night by an opportunist who reported that the head of customs had just died. Mr. President, would it be all right if I took his place? Well, said Lincoln, if it's all right with the undertaker, it's all right with me.
So,
and that was from what book was it?
That's from Morris Udall's book, Too Funny to Be President.
Too Funny to Be, yeah.
And speaking of Mormons, Mo Udall was a Mormon, but I think he was too funny to be a good Mormon.
So we'd like to talk a little more about the Book of Mormon, the musical, not the Mormon's so-called holy book.
And we've given you the plot synopsis, and I would just venture to say that if you can get to New York City, sacrifice a little bit, and get to this play, they're booking, I think, through January, and it is the hit of the season. And the thing about it is that there, I don't know whether we can play songs from it on the airwaves. I don't know how many. You're not going to be seeing this performed at your gym at the local high school because
they would
of
have
the
to totally
profane profanity and things like that in it.
Well, on the playbill, it says this is not a family musical. 18-year-olds and under, beware. So,
but if you're a family of freethinkers with teenagers, by all means, and it's
they would love
the creators
it, yeah.
of South Park. So you might not get a chance to see this. And there's going to be a cast album, and it's not out yet, so we didn't have any music from it. And it's just very, very funny. I think that someone could go to this play and be obtuse enough to not really reevaluate their views on religion because it's not hitting you over the head exactly. But there are a lot, there's a lot of free thought in it. And my favorite free thought lines in it were when somebody points out, one of the villages in Uganda points out that Salta Lake City doesn't really exist in reality. That's Salt Lake City. And paradise doesn't really exist in that we have to make a paradise here on earth. And that is very, what can be more free thought than that?
And that phrase that we opened the show with, Hasa Diga Ibowe, we can't translate that
no,
on the radio.
Can't.
And we wouldn't want to because it would spoil the joke. You're going to have to go to the play yourself and see exactly what it is these young Mormon missionaries find themselves accidentally singing in this Ugandan village. It really is funny.
And of course, the creators, the South Park creators, are atheists. And Dan, we've read their views in the past, but Dan, you found an interview from New York Magazine in early March quoting Matt Stone saying, we're essentially atheists. And of course they are. I mean, they're very irreverent in everything they do.
And Parker saying, you know, Star Wars is a religion too, so why not make that, it has the same kind of imagery in it as well.
And my favorite part in this, I think my favorite musical scene was their depiction of scary Mormon hell dream, which goes on and just gets better and better, and they keep, it crescendos, and it's so funny. And let me just say, there are images of whirling coffee cups in it. It's just so funny.
Well, this is what Broadway should be. This is what a Broadway dance number should be like. You know, they don't take themselves too seriously by taking themselves too seriously. It really is amazing, the visuals and the talent and the singing and the acting that went into this huge
production. And it's a send-up of many musicals because they love the form. So it's an affectionate look at musicals, too.
I like that song, Turn It Off, too, where the Mormons say, whenever you're confronted with a serious problem in your life, just turn it off, and they put a smile
and then the lights would actually go off completely in the theater, and then it would come back on. Yeah, very, very clever. But I do have to share with you, as the Mormons would say, the fact that this musical Book of Mormon is crude and lewd in a way that somehow manages to be pretty inoffensive. But if there are theater goers out there or Mormons out there who are going to take offense, we want to play an excerpt from Mormon Blowhard Glenn Beck.
This is an actual Mormon.
Yes, yeah. The April 7th edition of Premier Radio Network's The Glenn Beck Program, in which he's basically kind of talking about how he's being phased out, praise be hallelujah, from Fox News Channel. And parents, cover the ears of your children.
And now, time for Glenn's amazing predictions update.
1 year from now, write this down in your prediction calendars, too. Mm-hmm. 1 year from now, you on the left will be crapping yourself so much. You haven't crapped in your pants as much as you will in a year from now, as you did since you were a child. Maybe more. You'll be making more. You'll crap yourself more than when you were a baby, and you will find Jesus. You will suddenly find religion, and you will be kneeling at some altar, lighting candles every day, praying to Jesus that Glenn Beck would please just do 5 o'clock on the Fox News channel. There's my prediction. All right. Here's our sponsor.
I know that one's not coming true. There's no way they're going to be praying to Jesus.
Okay. All right. Gaia. You'll be praying to Gaia.
Okay, that I can go along with.
Well, that is the scatological Glenn Beck. And I think that's enough
said
about
there's nothing clever about that. Moving right along, we want to go from Mormons ringing doorbells to the phone message of a theocratic member of Congress, and you'd think the creators of South Park were making this stuff up.
We're talking about the Georgia wingnut, Representative Bobby Franklin, and this is the message on his own home answering machine.
State Representative Bobby Franklin, thank you for calling to give me encouragement about my sponsorship of House Bill 1, recognizing that prenatal murder is murder. I'm not able to take that encouragement right now, so at the tone, please leave your name, number, and a message. Thanks.
Representative Franklin was first elected to the Georgia House of Representatives in 1996. He now represents in Congress, the 43rd District. He's a Republican out of Marietta. He is a graduate of Covenant College in Lookout Mountain, Georgia, and he earned a degree in both Biblical Studies and Business Administration, and I'm not making this up. He's an active member of the Reformed Presbyterian Church, and he's been called the conscience of the Republican caucus because he believes that civil government should return to its biblically and constitutionally defined role.
And he's not alone. Now we're going to play a video made by federal congressional members to support Virginia's Call to Prayer Day, which is in conjunction with the National Day of Prayer, which the Freedom From Religion Foundation is litigating. You remember that last year, a year ago actually, April the 15th, federal judge Barbara Crabb agreed with the Freedom From Religion Foundation that the 1952 law and presidential proclamation declaring a National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional. But plans are afoot in every state thanks to the Evangelical National Day of Prayer Task Force, and the Virginia Commonwealth Prayer Caucus will be part of what they call a nationwide communication network of like-minded U.S. and state-elected leaders and praying citizens who can be mobilized for strategic action. This comes from the Virginia Christian Alliance, which depicts a cross that looks like a bloody sword at its website. The links there are creationism, sanctity of life, sexual purity, obedience to God, our nation under God, and God-ordained family.
Here's a section of this video.
I think God is really looking at us and saying, I need you. It's time for us to stand up and say, I'm ready to be those leaders.
God is in charge, and that we are here to try to carry out his will.
This is a wake-up call for us.
We need this kind of revival of people turning back to God.
It's the only thing that's going to put us back on the right course.
We cannot do it on our own strength. We need the supernatural hand of God.
God can always take a small group of people committed to him, and he can change the course of history with them.
The true source of power is not found in the halls of Congress or the chambers of the Supreme Court or the West Wing of the White House, but it's found in the power of prayer.
So speak out against that National Day of Prayer wherever you live and encounter public officials telling you to pray, which is the antithesis of what our First Amendment promises us. The First Amendment doesn't care if you have a God or whether you pray to that God, nor should any public official be telling you as part of a formal proclamation to set aside an entire day to pray and tell you what to pray about.
Coming up, and we won't be listening to scary music behind it, Freethinkers Fighting Back. More coverage about the Freedom From Religion Foundation's historic campaign with its chapter in Raleigh, North Carolina, to get freethinkers out of the closet.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We'll also be talking with a friendly atheist, Hemet Mehta.
I'm Marilee Harrison from Crystal Falls, Michigan, and I listen to the Free Thought Radio podcast.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Hello, I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. You can become a member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Just go to ffrf.org. In this last week's 35th annual edition of Isthmus Magazine, which is a weekly in Madison, Wisconsin, there's an article by Bill Leaders called 35 for 35, a fond look back at key figures from the Isthmus era. And these are people that Isthmus Magazine thinks have made sustained and important contributions to Madison. Mayors and members of Congress and musicians and authors and police chiefs and scientists. But right in the middle of that mix is Annie Laurie Gaylor.
But, and.
And, well, yeah, excited. It's, who would have thought that a freethinker, and she's identified, I can't read the whole thing, but you can look for that issue of Isthmus. Annie Laurie Gaylor, Madison's preeminent freethinker, the daughter of Ann Nicol Gaylor, is a polarizing figure, but a hero to others. And she's got hers is called Happily God Free. So congratulations, Annie Laurie.
Thank you, Bill Leaders, for that very kind mention. Now we have quickly the NBC coverage from Raleigh, North Carolina about FFRF's Out of the Closet billboard campaign with its chapter there in Raleigh.
So you see them on the highways, usually encouraging you to buy into something. But this month, there are billboards popping up around the triangle encouraging people not to buy. Well, NBC 17 Today's Jackie Faye joins us live for the breakdown. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Sharon. And that something is religion. These billboards, like this one behind me on Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, are intended to show people it's okay not to believe.
Oh, shoot, I can almost do science.
They have a welcoming home. Two boys, a girl, they play games. And the Wiener family is proud of what they don't believe in.
And you can be a happy family and not have a particular belief in God.
It's that message Allison Wood is hoping to get across to other families in the Triangle. Other families, she says, may have chosen religion because they were afraid not to.
Because it's met with such disdain, and it's met with such confusion, and it's met with such anger and hostility sometimes. So we feel like our role in this billboard campaign was to stand up and say, you know what? Just part of who we are.
Allison is not the only one spreading the message. Messages that encourage people to live without religion. Like this one. Your faith feel wrong? It's okay to leave. Mark Zumbach's billboard shows science as his co-pilot.
You can't check out of the grocery store without somebody saying, have a blessed day. And for those of us who are not religious, it can feel very isolating.
And Mark says the billboards are to show those who are not religious they have a community. Just like Christians do.
As Christians, I believe that Christ made a very clear standpoint that we are to be loving and engaging with people, but doesn't mean we necessarily are going to agree.
And that's the point those behind the billboards are trying to make. We don't have to agree.
And we feel like that's our most important job as parents. So this is an example of us being able to say that, you know, it's okay to stand up and say what you believe in.
And Mark Zumbach with the Triangle Free Thought Society did tell me they have gotten a few nasty emails, but mostly positive feedback about the billboard. Sharon.
Jackie, where are these billboards going up?
Yeah, by the end of this month, there will be 12 across the state, mostly in Raleigh, Durham, Smithfield, and Pittsburgh.
Now we're unveiling a way for any listener, any freethinker anywhere in the world to participate in the Out of the Closet campaign. So look at our website at ffrf.org. And we also invite you, if you were unfortunate enough to have been baptized, to get our debaptism certificate. Look under the news link. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker, who's our guest coming
up. And we'll be talking with a friendly atheist blogger, Hemant Mehta.
This is Daniel Dennett, author of Breaking the Spell, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And I always introduce myself as Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. Today we're going to talk with another friendly atheist. In fact, the author of the Friendly Atheist blog website, Hemant Mehta. Hemant has been very busy. He's teaching high school math now. I think this is his fourth year of teaching high school math at a school in a suburb of Chicago. He's also on the board of directors for the Secular Student Alliance, which we've talked a lot about on this show. He's author of the book, I Sold My Soul on eBay, which is a fun story. And he's co-founder of the group at the University of Illinois in Chicago, SWORD. It's called Students Without Religious Dogma. He's also chair of the group called Foundation Beyond Belief. He attended the University of Illinois at Chicago, where he graduated with honors in both mathematics and biology. And he got his master's in math education at DePaul University, where we spoke of. What was it, last year, wasn't it?
To a Free Thought Club at that Catholic college.
Hemant was featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal for his work as the eBay atheist and about his book about the experience, which was released in 2007. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Hemant.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Annie Laurie. It's great to be here.
From one friendly atheist to another. Can an atheist be friendly?
I know. It's shocking, isn't it? The funny thing is, the reason I use that name for the website is because, I mean, I know I can speak for myself. I'm sure you can agree with this. We meet friendly atheists all the time. I mean, most of the atheists I know, I think I could put in that category. The problem is, if you read any newspaper story about atheism or you read a magazine article, it's always angry atheists,
yeah,
militant atheists, staunch atheists. Like, you never see happy, friendly atheists anywhere.
Or self-avowed atheists, they say, you know.
Right.
But they don't say self-avowed Catholic.
As right, in big quotation marks, like they can't believe it.
Like they're admitting it themselves, we want you to know.
Right. Right.
So were you always an atheist? Now, you have a fascinating heritage. Were your parents from India?
They actually raised me in the Jain faith.
J-A-I-N.
Yeah, and Jainism is popular in certain parts of India, but it's certainly not as well known as, you know, Hinduism. But I grew up in that faith until I was about 13, 14 years old, somewhere in there. And, I grew up, you know, Jainism doesn't believe in a god per se, but they do believe in supernatural deities. They believe in reincarnation. And, you know, there are exactly 24 people who have broken the cycle of reincarnation and attained nirvana. And we know their names. And I memorized their names as a child. I even memorized the animal that they're symbolized by.
Was one of them Charlie Parker? Was he one of them?
He was surprisingly off the list. But I memorized all those things. And, like, the funny thing is that's not too different than what a lot of other, you know, religious kids growing up, you know, you always have to memorize your Bible verses, or you have to memorize, you know, this commandment or anything like that. You know, I had my own rituals and things to memorize and songs, hymns that I knew. So while it is a very different religion and kind of unknown, it's really not too different from any other religion in America.
Well, there's a belief in the soul, right, that survives the
Correct.
Death of the body.
They believe you have an eternal soul, so that when you die, your soul lives on. Which is funny, because you mentioned I wrote that book, I Sold My Soul on eBay. The funny thing is, you know, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in a soul, so there's some irony there.
Well, but you sold it, so you don't have it anymore.
Exactly. It's gone now.
It was
a metaphor for something larger, you know?
When you were 13, what made you break away from Jainism?
Well, You know, my family moved. That was probably the biggest thing. We moved from a place where I had friends and, you know, close friends, and I was about to start high school, to a place outside of Chicago where I didn't know anybody. I mean, I went to my first day of high school not knowing a single person. And, I mean, that takes its toll on any teenager. And so I think part of that, you know, that idea that this is the worst thing to happen to anybody ever, maybe, you know, clearly God doesn't exist if this happened, which is kind of silly in retrospect.
If he could make you go to a school where nobody knew you.
I know. But the funny thing is, that's not why I became an atheist. That's what got me questioning religion. And I started asking questions like, you know, how come I believe in these supernatural deities and no one else even has heard of them? And how come, you know, we believe in these things? Why do we believe in reincarnation when no one else seems to believe in that? And the more I searched for these answers, the more I realized, wait, I don't just think my religion doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think religion for anybody makes a lot of sense. So over the span of a couple months, I went from being a pretty devout Jain to being an atheist in one fell swoop.
Now, have you heard of the other kind of Jainites?
Oh, J-A-N-E.
J-A-N-E-I-T-S. So those are, and I belong to that cult. These are people, right, mostly women, who like Jane Austen. And we're called
Jainites.
Probably
would have been better suited for that club. But
yeah, there's nothing supernatural that you have to subscribe to.
But Hemant, isn't it true, or maybe I'm misunderstanding, but aren't the Jains generally very peaceful and egalitarian and, you know, anti-war, very gentle people?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, I was raised as a vegetarian because Jains strongly believe in nonviolence. I think even Sam Harris said in The End of Faith, you know, Sam Harris writes that fundamentalist religion is very bad, but even moderate religion is bad because it provides cover to the fundamentalists. But he goes out of his way to say that, you know, if the whole world were fundamentalist Jains, we wouldn't be so bad off.
But, I wonder, because if it became a very powerful religion and wanted to suppress the others, why wouldn't there be the same? I mean, what would be so different? Because many religions start off saying they're peaceable, but they don't stay that way. But it's nice to know that at least historically it seems to have been better than some.
Yeah, historically it's been pretty good. And I mean, like I said, I was raised with vegetarianism. Because of that, I'm still a vegetarian. I like the idea that you shouldn't be violent physically toward any other person or animal. But also, you know, you shouldn't be thinking violent thoughts about, you know, other people or animals or living creatures. I think that's a decent philosophy to get behind. And some of that still resonates with me. Where I drew the line was the supernatural aspect of it, which started becoming more and more heavy the more I learned about it.
So now, the Jainites, did they believe in souls?
Are we talking about the Jane Austen people?
Or we're talking about you.
Yeah, they do believe in souls. They do believe in an eternal soul that existed before you were born, and it's going to exist after you die, which raises that old question of, okay, well, if the population's getting larger, are we all getting fractions of a soul? Are we all getting, you know, pieces of one soul, or what happens exactly?
Maybe it's like soul meiosis or mitosis.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. There's some biology we need to look into. Maybe the Templeton Foundation can do that or something.
So yeah, you could win £1 million if you...
I'm so excited. I'll get right on that.
So tell us, how did you end up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal as the eBay atheist who sold his soul on eBay?
Well, a few years ago, I mean, and this was, you know, right after I finished college, I believe. Right after I finished college, where there was a span of about maybe 8 years that I had been a practicing atheist, if I can say that. I went from Jainism to atheism. I never went to a church. I never went to a synagogue or a mosque. And I realized, you know, I've never been to any of those places. And I feel like I'm missing out in a sense, because everyone else has those cultural references they can all, you know, remind themselves of or draw from. I never had that. And I wanted to go to church to experience what it was like firsthand. And I honestly didn't know the difference between a Catholic service and a Protestant service and an evangelical service and a, you know, Lutheran Episcopalian service. They were all just Christian services. So I said, okay, on eBay, you can bid on where I go to church, and I'll go to the place wherever the highest winner wants to send me. And the guy who ended up winning was a former Christian pastor, still a Christian, just not a pastor anymore, who said, I think it'd be more interesting if you went to a bunch of different Christian services and, you know, write about your experience on his ministry's website. And that's what I ended up doing. It caught the eye of some publishers, and I ended up writing that book.
He bid money? He paid money for that?
He paid $504 for my soul, which I should say was donated to the Secular Student Alliance. But yeah, in exchange for the $504, I went to about 10 churches on his behalf. And the churches never knew I was coming there to visit. I just went there on my own, took some notes on my own, and wrote about it on my own. And the funny thing is some of the pastors saw my write-ups later on, and they would comment on my criticism. They would comment when I saw something I really liked. But what was interesting is there was a really good conversation going on. And if you go to any website and that deals with religion, it's very hard to find constructive, real dialogue. People are so worked up and defensive about their beliefs. You can't listen to another viewpoint in so many places. But when I was writing these exchanges, these critiques of these church visits, there was a very healthy, positive dialogue with Christians who said, you know, I see what criticism you're saying, and I agree with you. I don't like that about church either. Or they would say, I think you got that wrong. Let me try to explain what's actually going on there. And I like that dialogue. I think we ought to have more of that. And that has nothing to do with who's right and who's wrong. It has to do with just understanding where we're coming from these different perspectives.
Well, maybe you just didn't go to the right church, Hammett. Maybe if you had gone to my denomination, you would have actually found God.
Well, I visited mega churches. I visited all black churches. I visited a guy's living room because that's how big his church was. For what it's worth, he was the only guy who knew I was actually coming to visit. But I visited a variety of them. So it's hard to say you didn't visit the right church when between going to churches for the eBay auction and going to even more churches to write the book, I feel like I visited a number of different Christian churches where, you know, I don't know if it's fair criticism to say, well, you didn't visit my church, so you don't understand.
Well, you definitely kept the non-faith, Hammett, through all that.
Yeah. And yeah, when you go to all these places, you know, I know a lot of these churches have services, you know, specially designed for people who don't believe in God or who are just apathetic about religion. And I went to those services specifically in some cases. And it's funny that the things they said in those services just made me realize, I think I'm really right about the atheism thing. I don't think they have it at all.
Well, we are talking with the friendly atheist, blogger, teacher, activist, freethinker,
author
Hammett Mehta. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker, and we will be back to conclude our conversation in just a minute.
This is Dorothea from Fox River Grove, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And we've been talking with the blogger, the author, Hammett Mehta, a former Jain who is now an atheist who went to church. He sold his soul on eBay. You can read his book. What was the title of the book? I Sold My Soul on eBay. Is that right?
Yep.
And, it's a good thing you didn't convert to any of those religions, because the way you talk, you would have made a pretty good preacher, actually, Hammett. You are very good.
I appreciate that.
Very good.
I think if I did convert, though, the book sales would, like, dramatically increase, don't you think?
Yeah, there's another way to make
no,
a lot.
No. You want to help the world, not just enrich yourself.
I understand. Don't worry. I'm still an atheist.
So tell us about this foundation you're working with. Foundation Beyond Belief, is that it?
Yeah, the Foundation Beyond Belief is something that I helped Dale McGowan, who wrote this great book called Parenting Beyond Belief. He began it in January of last year, so we're a little over a year running now. And what it basically is, it's you know, you always hear these stories about, you know, in the wake of a disaster, these Christian groups got out there, raised money. You know, they always send mission trips here and there. They built schools and hospitals and I'm sure churches too. But you always hear Christians doing those things. And you never hear, here's a bunch of atheists who raise money for this thing.
Although we do that a lot.
But not on a regular basis. So Foundation Beyond Belief is an urging atheists to say, you know what, I want to give $20 a month, let's say, and we have a different slate of charities every 3 months. And those are charities in the categories of peace or women's rights or poverty or the environment or health care. And we choose a different charity in those categories every few months. And you could say, you know what, I want $2 of my 20 to go to each of the charities in the quarter. And basically, if you want to give more to one group, you can do that. If you want to give less to another, you could do that. And something that may be controversial with some atheists, we have one category where we actually give something called Challenge the Gap, where we give one charity in each quarter that may be run by a religious person or two. However, they do purely secular work, no proselytizing or anything like that, because there are some groups out there that are good like that. But again, if you don't want to give to them, you don't have to. But I think it's great, this idea of having atheists specifically giving to charity. So we could say, look, this is what a bunch of atheists did to help these groups that really needed some help. And if anyone's interested, that's foundationbeyondbelief.org. It's one word. And I think, you know, it's been about 15 months now. We've raised over $130,000. And not only that, you know, we were quick to act, as I know a lot of groups were, after the Japanese disaster recently. And, you know, in the span of about 1 or 2 weeks, I think we raised about $20,000 just from that. And that's all from atheists giving because they want to give for secular purposes. They want to help reconstruction. You know, they know prayer's not going to do it. They know they got to give donations. And if they can't go there personally to help, what better way to do it?
Okay, but what kind of a huge percentage are you taking off the top of this, Hammond?
That's a great question. Well, there is one of the 10 charities every quarter is the foundation itself. But again, it's not a mandatory fee. I would encourage everyone to give 10% to every charity. But again, you could divvy that up as you choose. All the money you give to whatever charity you want to give it to, that goes entirely to the charity. We don't take a cut of that at all.
And I do have to say that there's all kinds of atheist charities. I mean, we don't have a charity saying atheists, but all kinds of charities are run and have been started by atheists, which are secular groups, you know.
Absolutely. And they don't tout their atheism, which is fine because they don't have to. But it is nice occasionally to see these groups pop up and say, you know what, in the wake of a disaster, it's not just Christians coming to your service. It's not just religious people. Atheists do it all the same. We care about this stuff just as much as everyone else does, and we want to help.
And there's also a way to do that. There's also a way to do that through the Richard Dawkins Foundation, where they're choosing us. They're choosing
Non-Believers Giving Aid, I believe, is his group. There's also the Center for Inquiry that has the secular humanists. Aid relief.
There's
effort,
also
something like that.
The Women's Medical Fund, since our audience is primarily Madison, Wisconsin, co-founded entirely by atheists, still administered by my mother, Ann Nicole Gaylor, has helped almost 20,000 poor women without means in the state of Wisconsin, some of them going to Chicago, pay for abortions. And
you know what? I read an article about that. It's fantastic.
And this is almost exclusively run by atheists on the board and has been for years and years.
Well,
but we don't ask the women what religion they are. And let me tell you, a lot of them say, God bless you on the phone. And we say, well, we don't believe in a God. And I would also say that Kiva, Team Atheist, is the largest giver. So we mustn't let the religionist propaganda get away with saying atheists are not charitable.
Absolutely.
But so that
and
sounds
you know
like
what?
A great
I know I'm,
option.
I'm speaking on behalf of Foundation Beyond Belief, but as Annie Laurie said, like I would encourage anyone listening to give to any of those organizations. Give to multiple if you can. I myself do give to a number of those groups you just mentioned, and I think it's great. I mean, we want people to help out, and I know a lot of people might say, okay, I want to give to the Red Cross, and you absolutely can. That's wonderful. But there are other ways to give to needy organizations that could use those donations and will use them properly without trying to take it to buy, you know, helicopters and lavish mansions. that really just want to do the good work. And if you want to give, hey, why not give through an atheist group?
So we're going to see you in May in Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas. What's it called? Reason Fest or Reason?
Yeah, Reason Fest. It's a campus run kind of event for a weekend. It sounds really exciting.
On May the 7th and May the 8th, where you're going to speak, and Annie Laurie's going to talk about our National Day of Prayer.
Or whatever's going on with it.
Victory at that time. Which is just
and you know what? I'm going to be speaking there about what some of these college atheist groups are doing on their campuses that is just so inspiring. So I'm really excited to talk about that and hear feedback about it.
Now, Hemant, we are almost out of time, but how can someone find your blog so they can read everything you've got up at your website?
Sure. It's friendlyatheist.com or just Google it. And everything is up there. My contact information is there, too, for anyone interested in reaching me.
And Beyond Belief's website is what?
Foundationbeyondbelief.org, and you can Google that as well.
Well, thank you so much for what you do. You certainly stay on top of the news and of items of interest to atheists and agnostics. We've been talking with Hemant Mehta, M-E-H-T-A, is that right?
That is correct.
And you're not related to Zubin, I would presume.
Unfortunately, I'm not. He seems awesome. I've heard him a few times.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Hemant. And thank you, Brian Tarani, for, again, a great job producing and engineering. And Buzz Kemper is our announcer. Go to ffrf.org/radio for archives and podcasts of this show.
Join ffrf.org at 1-800-335-4021. Go to our website. You can also ask for the very interesting March issue. We're working on the April issue of Free Thought Today, and lots of good information in there. You can get acquainted with individuals, get acquainted with our work, and we invite you to come back next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting, and let me say, Hasa Diga Ibowe.
I'm not able to take that encouragement right now, so at the tone, please leave your name and a message. Thanks.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.